Measure Up Podcast, Episode 20. Are you measuring to thrive or survive? G'day and welcome. I'm Stacey Barr, the Performance Measure Specialist of StaceyBarr.com and your host for the Measure Up podcast. My passion is making it easy and fun for you to meaningfully measure the performance of your organization or business so it can be truly excellent at what it exists to do. I do this through my PUMP methodology and the Performance Measure Blueprint workshops and online programs which teach you how to use PUMP step by step to measure what matters. In this episode of the Measure Up podcast, which is about are you measuring to thrive or survive, our feature article is KPIs should make you feel uncomfortable. We're also going to help Measure Up subscriber Ashok answer his question, how do you measure for continuous improvement? And we will wrap up as usual with a quick tip. And today's quick tip is to set 3 targets for each KPI. Well, I'm not sure if it's been obvious, but I've just taken the last month off as a spontaneous vacation. And thanks to the wonders of modern technology, my fabulous assistant Claire has been able to publish both the Measure Up e-zine and the podcast while I've been digging in the garden and planting seeds and running and reading, visiting my sister in hospital, and generally just going with the flow. It was just what I needed after what's been one of the busiest years actually for the business since the business started back in 1999. I feel quite refreshed now, and this first week back in the office will mostly be catching up with people and also sharpening my focus on, I'm thinking, maybe 3 priorities for the rest of this year. I'm becoming more and more a proponent of simplicity these days, and I really believe that you achieve more when you give your attention to less. So stay tuned and I'll let you know how that philosophy works out. I love the topic of this episode of the podcast, are you measuring to thrive or survive? Because it's one of the areas that frustrates me so much when I work with my clients. Obviously, the work that I do with my clients is around performance measurement, so I get to see in intimate detail their strategic plans and business plans and operational plans. The most common types of strategies that I see in business plans, strategies being, you know, the improvement projects that people are going to do to try and achieve their business goals. Most of those strategies seem to be about either getting more money, more budget, or more staff or more resources. They just seem to think that with, you know, the way to solve their problems, the way to achieve their goals is to get more money or to get more staff or to get more resources. But usually this means that performance doesn't ever really improve. It actually just stays mediocre. And where this belief of mine comes from is my background. When I worked in Queensland Rail many, many, many years ago now, I was the measurement consultant at Queensland Rail, but I worked in the process improvement office. And while a big, big part of my role there was obviously measurement, helping everyone throughout the organization to measure and track their performance, I also got involved in a lot of process improvement type work where I would work with a cross-section of staff out of a particular department or division, and we'd flowchart their business processes and we would look for ways to improve those business processes so that performance could improve. For example, I worked with a part of the freight business where we flowcharted their billing or invoicing process, because one of the problems they were having was customers were really unhappy with the accuracy of invoices, and you, as a customer, you do not want to pay an invoice that's not accurate. So we flowcharted that billing process and found ways to reduce the complexity of it. There was plenty of complexity in it. We found ways to get rid of redundancy or rework, to correct errors, and basically streamline the process so that the invoices were far more accurate. And this process improvement philosophy has really stayed with me, and I think it's influenced greatly my views about performance measurement and the role that performance measures have. I mean, fundamentally, I believe that to get a better result, we have to improve the process that produces that result. And improving could mean streamlining the process. It could mean simplifying it. It could mean redesigning it. It could mean eliminating rework or redundancy. It could mean adopting different practices that have been proven to work really well in other organizations. And that's what process benchmarking is all about, of course. Things like money or budget, staff and resources, these are constraints. They're not actually enablers. I don't think they're the things we need to give our attention to if we want to get performance to improve. I would much rather see people analyzing their business processes as part of their planning process, in the early stages of the planning process, so they can create performance goals and performance measures and performance improvement strategies that are deliberately directed at the process improvements they most need to achieve, given the constraints that they have with budgets, staffing, and resources, and so on. This is very much what Peter, who was one of my star clients from a few years ago, it's what he did with the inventory management process in the energy company that he worked for and still works for to this day. They wanted to lower the cost of inventory management, so they redesigned the way they managed inventory to take out as much manual ordering as possible. They automated the restocking process through approved supplier agreements, and they were able to keep less inventory on hand. They did all of this in a way that preserved their very high inventory availability to their internal customers. So when an internal customer needed to get some cables or a transformer or anything really from inventory for a construction job that they had, they'd be able to get it very, very quickly, irrespective of you know, the, holding lower inventory levels. So costs really did come down. Their inventory management costs dropped dramatically. Peter used a few very, very simple but powerful KPIs to help with this inventory process redesign. This is a really good example that an important role of performance measures or KPIs is to drive improvement, to drive us to take responsibility for producing the performance results that we really want. And that relates to the topic of this episode's feature article, KPIs should make you feel uncomfortable. You can get a written copy of the podcast's feature article in this episode's corresponding issue of the Measure Up email newsletter. The newsletter gives you additional resources to meaningfully measure what matters, and you can subscribe for free at measureupblog.com. If your KPIs or performance measures aren't pushing you outside your comfort zone, then they're wasting everyone's time. If you only measure what you already know you can achieve, those measures or KPIs probably won't take you any further. They're just confirming that things are as you expect. They're not pushing you to try harder, think smarter, or reach higher. Ever since I was 14 years old, running has been my favorite sport. Over the first 26 years, I managed to get my 10K time down from 60 minutes to 54 minutes. I was a jogger. But over the last 2 years, my 10K time has gone from 54 minutes down to 45 minutes. Even though I have always measured my running performance and strived to improve it, I had to train harder and smarter to accomplish the bigger improvement over the last 2 years and graduate from jogger to runner. Some of my training runs over these 2 years have pushed me to the point of almost throwing up. Many of my training runs have pushed me beyond my comfort zone to a point where I've really had to talk myself into continuing. But that's how you get stronger and fitter and faster, by going outside your comfort zone. I didn't do that during the first 26 years. I just went out and jogged about the same distance and speed each time. It's really no different in business. If you want better results, you have to get better at producing those results. Too many people think they can buy better performance with a bigger budget or more staff or better resources, but the only way to truly improve performance to get better results that will last is to go outside your comfort zone and train yourself to work harder, think smarter, and reach higher. I'm not trying to contradict the work smarter, not harder mantra either. It's just that there is a certain amount of effort you have to invest before you can work smarter to make true change happen and stick. It will feel stressful, but stress is what makes you stronger as long as you don't go overboard with the stress. Whatever it is you're measuring, customer satisfaction, cycle time, costs, revenue, rework, error rates, widgets per day, whatever, are you measuring it to prove what you are already doing or to strive for better, even if you're not sure yet what it will take to get better? When you push yourself outside your comfort zone sensibly, you get stronger, you get more capable, and a higher level of performance becomes the new norm. Your comfort zone is bigger. That's what I think the real benefit of KPIs and performance measures is, to inspire us to keep expanding our comfort zones so we continually improve the results we want most. If you want to take action on these ideas, here's my suggestion. Stocktake your existing suite of performance measures or KPIs and honestly appraise which ones are inspiring you to expand your comfort zone and achieve more, and which ones have you aiming for where you already are. Expanding your comfort zone is essentially the same as finding effective ways to continually improve performance, and this is what Measure Up subscriber Ashok asks in this episode's Q&A. Ashok's question is, how do you select the best KPIs from a list of many, and then how do you measure for continuous improvement? Well, to select the best KPIs from a list, you really have to evaluate them, and I evaluate them on two very specific criteria relative to the goal or performance result you're trying to measure. So really, you need to start first with a clear idea of the result, the performance result, the goal that the measure is telling you something about, that the measure is monitoring. Then the two questions or criteria to evaluate a list of potential KPIs or measures is strength and feasibility. Now, strength is about how convincing that measure is about what's really happening with the performance result that you're monitoring. So if you have a performance result about reducing rework, for example, in a particular process, maybe it's, well, let's continue the billing process example I mentioned earlier. If you want to reduce rework in the billing process, then a potential measure might be the number of errors on invoices. But another potential measure might be the percentage of invoices that require rework. Or another potential measure could be the percentage of billing time spent correcting invoice errors. Now, three different KPIs there, and they have different strength relative to the goal. The first one, about just the number of errors on invoices, doesn't have very high strength because it's really not that convincing of how much rework there is. It's not relative to anything. You might have a count of how many errors there are on invoices, but you know that count might be high or low depending on how many invoices those errors are spread across or how severe those errors are and how much time it takes to fix them. So it would probably have a low strength. But the third measure that I mentioned about the percentage of billing time spent correcting errors, now that would be a very strong indicator of the amount of rework. Feasibility was the second part of the second criteria to evaluate measures from a list. And feasibility means how easy is it going to be to implement this measure? You might have the world's greatest measure, but if it's going to cost you an inordinate amount of time and money and effort to just get the data, it may not be the right measure right now. So its feasibility might be quite low. So you balance those two criteria to choose which are going to be the best KPIs for you from a list. This is actually one of the five steps in the PUMP measure design technique. The measure design technique is just one of the steps in the PUMP methodology for performance measures. And those five steps in the measure design technique help you start with the goal or result that you're trying to measure and help you consider a range of potential KPIs or performance measures before then getting you to evaluate which of those are going to be the best for you and then going right ahead and choosing them. If the measure design technique sounds like it might be a good tool for you right now, you can read more about it, and the URL is stacybarr.com/products/measuredesign.html. That's stacybarr.com/products/measuredesign.html. And if you just Google pump measure design, I'm pretty sure you'll find it pretty quickly if you happen to forget that URL, or it's just too long for you to remember. When you have the KPIs that truly are the best evidence for your goals or your performance results, there are a few things to do to make sure that those KPIs will drive continuous improvement. And the first tip I've got for you here is to make sure that you measure frequently enough. Measure weekly or monthly if you can, and if it makes sense to. Don't just always default to measuring annually. Just because your goal might have an annual target doesn't mean you measure at the end of the year and see whether you hit your target or not. Measures give the best feedback when that feedback is frequent and regular, and it helps you identify whether the strategies that you've chosen are working or not. It helps you identify when other things are sabotaging performance or affecting it in some way so that you can do something about that and not have it be a nasty surprise at the end of the year when you fall short of your target. So measure frequently. The second tip is to graph your measures so that you can see the values in time series. And I would say aim for at least 20 values of your performance measure through time if you have that many. If you don't, that's fine. There's no time like the present to start building up a really good time series for your performance measures. And the reason is that any single value of a performance measure has no meaning at all apart from its context. And its context is that flow through time, that time series, that how is performance changing as time goes by. So graph your measures in time series. That will be the best way to get the most insights out of them. It'll also help you take up tip number 3, which is a slightly more advanced tip, and that's to use control charts. Now, a control chart is a special kind of line chart, and it's got a couple of extra bits of information on it that help you quickly identify a signal in your performance measure. And a signal is a pattern that isn't random, that indicates something has changed, something is different. And they're the things that you respond to. You respond to the signals in your performance measures. Those signals either tell you whether or not your strategies, your improvement strategies are working, or they tell you whether something else is affecting performance. So they're really, really powerful graphs. Now, I'll give you the name of the control chart to use. It's an XMR control chart. X for X-ray, M for Mary, R for Roger, XMR control chart. If you just Google that, you'll find some fantastic information about it, but also a brilliant book. Anyone who does performance measurement really needs this book, not in their bookshelf, but right there on their desk to refer to whenever they need to. And it's Understanding Variation by Donald Wheeler. Understanding Variation by Donald Wheeler. And Wheeler is W-H-E-E-L-E-R. My fourth tip for you is to set targets. Just to know if performance is going up or down doesn't make a great deal of sense unless you know which direction you want it to go in and how far you want it to go. So setting performance targets is a really valuable thing to do if you want to have that continuous improvement, or drive continuous improvement rather, with your performance measures. Now, when you see that your measure or KPI needs to be improved, identify and flowchart the business process that produces the result it measures. Improving this process is going to be the key to improving performance. This is just like what I described Peter did with the inventory management process. And my final tip for you is to set more targets. If the measure is still a priority after you've managed to get some improvements happening in performance, then set targets for continuous improvement. Set targets for the next round of improvement that you want to do. But only do that, like I say, if the measure is a priority to improve. Don't improve for improvement's sake. We don't have enough bullets to go around and improve everything. We really should be making sure that we we give our time and attention and resources to the areas that are most in need of our improvement. Now, if you have a question that you'd like me to answer for you on this podcast, just email it to me at measureup@stacybarr.com. Now, how we set targets for our performance measures or KPIs, I reckon, has a big impact on how we go about improving performance. So in this episode's quick tip, I want to elaborate more on the idea of target setting. I think I discussed a bit about this in episode 16 of the podcast, which was called Reach for the Sky. So if you want to go back and listen to that one again, you could couple the tip I gave you then with the tip I'm about to give you now. My tip now is to set three targets for every KPI or performance measure. Now, the first target should be a relatively easy one. Obviously, it's got to be some kind of improvement over where you are now, but it's also a short-term target, maybe just a few months out, maybe 3, 4, or 6 months out. And the idea is that you know what it's going to take to achieve it. You know what you need to change to achieve it. So to give you an example here, a priority KPI of mine is to increase the implementation success rate of my clients with using Pump to, you know, develop their organization's measurement systems. Now, an easy target in the short term might be to increase it from 50% to 55%. And I can do that very easily by setting up a really simple follow-up system to give a bit of coaching around probably 2 months into my client's implementation on their own. The second target, this one should be a bit more challenging and probably more over the medium term. And for me, the medium term is probably a year or two. Now, you may have some ideas about bigger process improvements that would help you achieve it, but you may not be completely clear on exactly how that might happen, but that's okay. But at least you've got an inkling, you've got some ideas. It's just that it might take more time, it might take a bit more planning, it might take more effort. So over the next year or so, for example, I'd like to increase the Pump implementation success rate to around 70%. And while I've laid the groundwork for it through creating this online Pump community, I know I can leverage that community a lot more to encourage clients to connect with each other, to share problem solving and share successes and learnings. That's going to take a bit more work though, so it's more my medium-term target. Now, the third target, and you probably can guess what it's going to be, it's much more challenging. You could even call it a stretch target if you wanted. And it's longer term. And I mean longer term here in the sense that it's actually beyond your current planning cycle horizon. And the idea here is that so you can get over this false notion and false habit that the world starts anew at the start of each financial or calendar year. It doesn't, you know, time goes continuously. So why should improvement only be anchored within each year? It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Now, you probably don't know how you're going to achieve this more challenging longer term target, but it's a primer for what to think about when you start your next planning cycle. You're thinking beyond now, and that can be a very energizing thing to do. It would be amazing for me, for example, to be able to say to people that if they follow my advice, they will have at least a 95% chance of succeeding with their Pump implementation. Now, that's definitely a stretch target for me, and given that there will always be things outside my control, outside my ability to help people succeed with Pump, I'm still very, very curious to explore exactly how I could design a system that will achieve a target like 95% implementation success over the coming years. So 95% is probably a 2 or 3 year target time horizon for me. Now, the idea is to use targets to build your momentum toward big goals, to not let yourself get discouraged, to not think that you either have a stretch target or you have an achievable target. The idea is to have both. It might be scary, it might be uncomfortable, but stretching ourselves like this is the only way we can change the world in noticeable and meaningful ways. And that finds us at the end of another episode. And thanks as always for joining me. You can download these podcasts and also read the feature articles at measureupblog.com. You can also subscribe to this podcast at iTunes if you're a podcast junkie like I am. Just search for Measure Up. And if you don't mind sparing a minute, I would love it if you would write a review of the podcast at iTunes. It's going to help others find the podcast, which in turn helps me to help them change the world too. So I'd really appreciate you taking the time to pop over to iTunes and leave a comment about the podcast. Until next time, this is Stacey Barr, the Performance Measure Specialist, signing off. Keep measuring what matters and engaging everyone you can to do the same.